bangthebook.com.
Hello once again, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on this Friday, December 14th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. Let's go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to have you with me as we wrap up this week here on the program. Two segments left to take care of for this week. The first, our Westgate Super Contest selection segment. My Bang the Book podcast entry is in the spotlight here on that segment, 31, 33, and 6 on the season here so far. I'll talk about my thoughts for week 15 as the mini contest gets underway in the Westgate Super Contest. Second half of today's show, Brent from DSI Sportsbook joins us for this week's version of the Odds Report. Sharp money out there for some of the college football bowl games, though maybe not a whole lot going on here this weekend, but then plenty of sharp action on the NFL side. So we'll talk about everything that's going on there in the sports betting market with Brent from DSI. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Tons of great stuff, tons of valuable resources over there for you, including Danny Borges' NFL power ratings, better than 60% here on the season, better than 58% lifetime. So he's doing a fantastic job with those, and I will reference those a little bit later here in this segment as well. Also over there, situational betting articles for the NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football power ratings updated as well. All of the bowl games have been previewed over there, so you can take a look at those for that five-pack of bowl games coming up on Saturday. NBA, college basketball, Parker Michaels' NHL picks, you name it, we got it over at bangthebook.com. Also get involved in those free pick contests. You can win some cash prizes in those. Then, of course, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. You sign up at DSI using that promo code BTB200. Good for a 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino. At BetDSI, it's only a game until you bet it. Got Joe Everett helping me out here this week once again with my Westgate Super Contest selection segment for week 15. Again, as I mentioned here, 31, 33, and 6 on the season. Would really like to get onto the plus side here over these last 3 weeks. The mini contest gives everybody a little bit of extra life. So I'll touch on that a little bit. And also the picks that, all right, so I touched on that a little bit, I should say. And also my picks and thoughts here for week 15. So without further ado, here is this week's version of the Westgate Super Contest selection segment with myself and Joe Everett. All right, I'm joined now by Joe Everett for our week 15 Westgate Super Contest selection segment. He's going to help me out a little bit going back and forth here about my Bang the Book podcast entry. Joe, how's it going today, man?
Oh, not bad at all. Just getting ready for a little North Dakota State, South Dakota State, a little Maine, Eastern Washington. This is the real good stuff for college ball.
Yeah, right. Definitely. A lot of good FCS games here over the last few weeks. And, of course, now kind of winding down with that. And we'll see what the Celebration Bowl brings on Saturday. As we look back at what happened here in week 14 of the Super Contest, 53.99%, just below 54%. First winning week in the Super Contest since week 9 for the field, now at 51.66% for the season. Over in the gold, 56.26%. And then year to date, 53.6%. Joe, just the ebbs and flows of the NFL season here where, you know, you had a three-week period where everybody was killing the books. Then about 4 weeks where only the sharpest of the sharp were killing the books. Now everything kind of balanced out a little bit.
It definitely seemed like those books have caught right back up. You had those, you know, early in the season, like public bettors, the favorite bettors were starting to cash in, but now it's just, I don't know, murderer's row. It seems like myself personally, the last few weeks, it's been pretty brutal just to fess up. So, yeah, I'm definitely caught in the thick of it right now. And, yeah, it seems like the other side of that counter is definitely they didn't fail to sharpen their pencils, that's for sure.
Well, and as we look at the Super Contest here for Week 15, the mini contest begins. So everybody that's out of the running for the full season contest getting a chance now in the mini contest. I believe that's $20,000 now, used to be $15,000. Best record here over the last 3 weeks. We'll take that home. Sometimes it's somebody who doubles up, somebody who maybe wins the Super Contest and gets the mini contest in the process. So, you know, at least there's that. We'll see a lot of people come back into the field for this week. But then the people that, you know, maybe go 1-4 or 0-5 here this week, probably just going to pack it in. So we should have higher success rates for week 16 and 17 as some of the weaker competitors start to drop off a little bit. But my Bang the Book podcast entry, 31-33-6 heading into this weekend. And Joe, I think this is a tough weekend. And I told you, full disclosure, I do not like this NFL card this week. You know, we've got some teams that aren't very good laying big numbers. We've got some teams that, you know, aren't very good laying any kind of number. It's just one of those things where, you know, you hope that when you pick a team here for this contest, they actually show up and give a full effort.
Yeah, it's I don't like the card either. There's a Thursday game, but I mean, as far as sides, there's not a ton of sides I'm in love with. I've got a few totals that I'm going to play this weekend, but I don't know if the two Saturday games also throw a little kibosh in there for even more short weeks. I just think it's so tough with these. We've seen some of these, well, just these Thursday night games with those road teams showing up, falling face first. It's just what kind of effort you're going to get is the real question mark. And with three of those short week games, that throws a little monkey wrench in it. And yeah, I don't blame you. It's not the prettiest card this weekend, that's for sure.
Well, this one's probably classified a little bit more of a lean than a pick, but since it comes on Saturday, I'll go ahead and start with it. The Cleveland Browns is a 3-point dog going out against the Denver Broncos. And, you know, when you look at the Broncos, I mean, they were in such a good spot last week. They were taking on a San Francisco team that hadn't looked great the last few weeks. They really could have been in a position to control their own destiny for the playoff race, but they laid down as about as flat as you possibly could in that game against the 49ers. And we were on the Broncos last week in the Golden Nugget. That was obviously one of the picks that hurt us. But Joe, as I look at this game here this week, I mean, the Browns are down to 2.5 in the marketplace, so getting a little bit of line value on this game. But I think you have a case here where the Browns are legitimately improving, and there's some incentive here for this team. Freddie Kitchens has been a great offensive coordinator. Browns lead the NFL in yards per play since week 9. So that gives you an idea of how good this offense has been. Maybe they like playing for Greg Williams. Maybe this is his audition. The Browns have reasons to play hard the rest of the way. Denver's on the fringes of the playoff race, but after last week, there's just something missing here with this team. Maybe it's Vance Joseph related, but I do kind of like the Browns, even with the short week and the travel out to the thin air.
I think that the Broncos are in a rough spot on offense right now. They plan to put these rookies in there, Sutton, the Deshaun Hamilton, and the drafted community referred to as Bayshawn. I mean, people love this kid, and so does the team, but he's not Emmanuel Sanders. I think they missed DT's physical presence, and right now Courtland Sutton, he's had those splash plays, but the consistency's been lacking. I think he's nursing a quad injury. He didn't practice on Tuesday, so that's something to think about. Again, I'd stress the short week there. I think it's going to hurt both teams, but for a banged-up team like Denver, it's not a good spot. The only thing that makes you worry is Baker, first time in Denver. See how he does in the altitude and all that, but the kid's such a gamer. Yeah, for me here, it'd be Browns or nothing, because just the way the Broncos looked last week, that was – just getting smacked around by Shanahan. Sure, he may have an axe to grind with, you know, how his interview went with the Niners and all that, but that's beside the point. I think that effort that Denver put out there last week, you definitely can't get on their side.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, this defense, I wish it was maybe a bit healthier. I think this is the kind of game where you'd really like to have a guy like Christian Kirksey to stop that week, but it's not like Denver throws the football in any sort of prolific manner anyway. The Browns, there's just this confidence that they're exuding right now. I do like the Browns this week. I mean, I think that they're in the right mindset, and I feel like Denver laid flat last week. I don't know how to get off the mat here to play a team that's still excited to be playing football.
I think that's the key thing right there. This is such a young team. They're led by a rookie that's fired up right now. They are just jazzed up to be playing any kind of ball, and, you know, they're not completely out of it in their minds. I think that's more important than anything. Sure, mathematically it's done, but I don't know. I haven't checked 538 yet, but the bottom line is that they're going out there just excited to ball out, show themselves, and you just got a lot of young players that kind of Marv Levy theory, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? And that's the kind of vibe, I think, in that building.
Well, and one last point I'll make about this. You know, I read a really good breakdown from Jake Burns on what the Browns have done with Freddie Kitchens in this offense, and they're using the running backs a lot more. They're using Nick Chubb a lot more. They're finally using Duke Johnson in the right way. That's a really good way to slow down a pass rush. If you're going to get your backs out there in the flat, linebacker or a safety has to worry about them, slows down that pass rush some, gives Baker Mayfield more protection. They've been doing some more max protect stuff. Weather should be just fine here. I think Cleveland's trending in a positive direction, and I really do think they are the right side there in that one. So move on from that game here to the next game that I'm looking at on the card. This is Super Contest Rotation number 13. The Indianapolis Colts taking on the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, as I mentioned a couple times this week on the show, I think both of these teams, to some degree, are play-on types of teams. But, you know, Indianapolis taking care of the football. When they protect Andrew Luck, they're in pretty good shape. The defense is fast and getting better. And also, too, you know, Dallas has limited a lot of big plays, but they are allowing a lot of completions. And Frank Reich has game planned for this Dallas defense the last couple of years while being part of the Philadelphia coaching staff. So I think he knows what he's looking for. I'm surprised the consensus is on Dallas because I think Indianapolis is the play here this week.
That's the one side I'm liking. So took a peek off my page. I don't blame you at all. And I think that that's a great point to hinge on is that not only is Reich sorely missed in Philly, I think part of the game planning and not just game design, like when to call plays, I think some of that was on Reich and that relationship he had with Wentz is missing, but he has experience in this division. And I think really you look at Dallas's offense, what they've been able to do with Amari Cooper there, it's, a lot of it's been against heavy man, and that zone that the Colts play, it might give them fits with the Dallas Cowboys. They don't really have a consistent like week to week thing. We're going to switch it up because we're playing X, and now it's Y. We have a new game. No, they just keep going out and doing the same crap. So that's where I'd worry if someone thinks Dallas is just going to roll here. I think the Colts will scheme them out on defense. Actually, that's where they'll have problems. And really, Zeke's kind of dinged up. If Darius Leonard's out there healthy, running at top speed like he's been all season, I think this is where the Colts match up well. I think the one worry, T.Y., the ankle, he didn't practice Wednesday, where he's at. If T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, I mean, that's a damn difference maker. But outside of that, he's healthy, he's a go. I think the Colts are the side.
And there's probably a little bit of a fat and happy mentality here for Dallas with that win over Philadelphia last week, with the Eagles now a double-digit dog against the Rams because Carson Wentz is out. Obviously, Washington's not going anywhere. The Giants are playing better of late, but they're three games out with three games left to go, so they're not winning this division. So I think for Dallas, there's probably a sentiment that last week was sort of the NFC East championship game. They get Tampa Bay at home next week. Really, I think all they have to do is win one of these final three games. And you know, I think that there probably is a little bit of a letdown factor here off that overtime win against the Eagles. And look, they outgained Philadelphia by 320 yards in that game and still had to go to overtime to win it. So I think this still is a flawed Dallas team. They're on the road for the first time since November 18th, way back in week 11. That's a little bit of a shock to the system there. I like Indianapolis in this spot here. And I think that it's probably, on a card that I don't love, probably my favorite play of the week.
Oh, I don't blame you one bit. It's funny, though. Like these teams are very, very similar versions of themselves. So I think that kind of it plays to a little bit for Luck. He's been practicing against a defense that is basically going to be the same look against linebackers that know they're not the stars that Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch are. But Anthony Walker and Darius Leonard, young fellas, also playing some really good ball at linebacker. I think the Colts will know exactly where to and how to attack this style of defense.
All right, so move on to the next game I'm looking at here, and that's number 15 in the Super Contest Rotation Order, the Buffalo Bills. And we were on the Bills last week across all of our entries, both Super Contest and Golden Nugget. And yes, they did lay an egg for us there in that game against the Jets. But also, you know, we talked about this a little bit on Tuesday with Brian Blessing, that that was kind of the Super Bowl for the Jets, given where they are right now, given where their standing is out there in the league. You know, Barkley and the Bills at home. back in week 10. So they stepped up for that game. Buffalo plus 120 yards last week. And I think here against the Detroit Lions, who picked up a nice road win in Arizona. But, you know, when you look at the Lions and when you look at their performance in that game, yeah, nice win 17-3. They had 96 passing yards in that game against Arizona. Back to back road games now. They've got two straight division games coming up to maybe play spoiler a little bit if that's what they're interested in. But, you know, I think Detroit can run around and chase Josh Allen all over the field. I just think Buffalo, I'm not scared to come back on them this week. And I think maybe some people will be. And getting below the key number of 3 here at 2.5, I think there's some equity in Buffalo.
Well, and I think that, Arizona-Detroit game, I just throw that out the door. That's a game that just tried to set football back 30 years. And, you know, that's sort of the exception. And I think Detroit right now is a team you could pick on. This banged up offensive line. They're missing a lot of talent on skill positions right there. It's really not a defense playing all that well. So I think the Bills hit the ground game hard. The Lions don't want to tackle. We've seen that in a lot of games. So yeah, the Bills are nothing here for me. That's kind of the way I'm seeing that game. I don't think Detroit built any confidence off that win last week.
Yeah, and Matt Stafford dealing with a little bit of a back injury, so maybe that had something to do with last week's performance. And you got to keep in mind here, too, I mean, you know, Matt Stafford, he made his nut. He's got his money, all that. You don't want to openly talk about guys maybe quitting, but it really wouldn't surprise me if Stafford, you know, doesn't hang in the pocket here against Buffalo and does have a solid defense. I mean, from a yards allowed standpoint, they're the best defense in the NFL. They're third best in net yards per pass attempt. So they do play very solid from a pass defense standpoint. You know, with all the offensive line injuries and Kerryon Johnson, you know, banged up right now, Detroit's not running the football to the same degree. I just think Buffalo is the right side. I think Buffalo shows up to play. I think they're upset about losing that game against the Jets at home last week. Is there a look ahead to the Patriots? Maybe a little bit. But, you know, when you're 4-9 and you're trying to establish an identity, you can't really look past anybody. And I think Buffalo is – you know, the right side here in this one, especially with, you know, maybe it kind of jazzes them up a little bit to get a crack at Matt Patricia. You know, it's hard for them to beat Bill Belichick. Let's do the next best thing and beat Matt Patricia. Maybe that's a kind of motivating factor for them.
Well, and I think also it's another situation similar to Cleveland, that's a younger team, a defense that likes the scheme they're playing, and they want to go on, keep playing that scheme. So they want to close out strong. One injury, Matt Milano, that linebacker from Boston College, he was playing really well for them. He's not the pedigree draft pick that Tremaine Edmonds was by any means, but he plays super fast. He just understands. There's so many things he does right. Broken fibula, I think, so done for the year. That's going to be an edge off for that defense. They still have the one-man gang, Lorenzo Alexander, in there, but they're going to miss Milano. It's another guy kind of well-liked in the locker room. So that's where I'd be worried about their defense. But in general, I think that theme of the younger team, like really wanting to stay doing what they're doing. We like the scheme we play in. This is the job I'm here to play, and I want to keep my job is more going to be in the back of these guys' minds than anything.
All right, so far here we're looking at the Browns and then also the Colts and the Bills. And I don't know if I would call this one a pick or a lean, but I can't stop looking at this Green Bay-Chicago line. Green Bay, 6-point dog here in the Super Contest, rotation number, rotation number 18 here in the Super Contest. And, I mean, I know what Brad Power said on yesterday's show. You know, it's not real plus EV to sit there and think, okay, this team at some point has to have a letdown, has to play a bad game. But I can't help but think that about Chicago. And in particular, this Chicago defense. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, it wasn't all that great last week without Mike McCarthy, but they did get the win. Maybe that kind of kicks them in the ass a little bit. But also, I mean, the Bears are 3-15 straight up and 6-12 against the spread in the last 18 meetings here. And I know that they're a lot better. I fully understand that. But maybe Aaron Rodgers just has their number. You know, maybe Aaron Rodgers is going to go out there and play for Joe Philbin these last 3 weeks. I just worry about Chicago getting margin with how Mitch Trubisky looked last week. And I know he was off the injury. I know it was cold and all that, but the Bears just, if Aaron Rodgers can get some points here in this game, I don't see how the Bears get enough margin to cover it. The Bears are the consensus side this week, which surprises me a little bit. So I'm kind of interested in Green Bay. Again, it's not necessarily a play, but there's just something about this game that doesn't add up.
Yeah, you don't usually win a lot of money betting against Aaron Rodgers as a dog. I mean, that's kind of the general rule that I've like a hard and fast. No, I just don't do that. So I don't know. It's kind of stay away from me because the Bears have been so hot. They're playing so well up that front seven. And I think, too, the Packers defense missing those two guys up front. Mike Daniels, that seeing him with that ice pack on his foot, that is just that's more ominous than anything. It doesn't matter who you bring in. They're not playing up to the level that Daniels did. So I still worry about the Packers stopping the run game for the Bears. But I have to agree with you. Trubisky, he's still you just chart his passes 20-plus yards. You really have to worry about his deep intermediate to deep accuracy. And that's where I really have a tough time. That's where I think you're right. Can the Bears actually cover this number with the way Trubisky's playing? I don't have confidence in that. But then, this Bears defense, I mean, they're just playing super confident right now with that pressure they're able to get. There's not a lot of weaknesses out there. And the home advantage is just a team like, man, I just don't want to step in front of that train kind of feeling with Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably classify this as my sixth pick, so I would put it on the leans list. But, you know, again, recording this on Thursday night, so I've got some time to figure this stuff out. But, again, there's just, you know, it's such a historical outlier to see the Bears a six-point favorite over an Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay team that, you know, just doesn't feel like it adds up. But then again, you know, maybe the Bears hold them to 7 or 10 points and cover the game comfortably. You know, I don't know. We'll have to see if that becomes one of the games that does make it onto my card here, but I'm probably going to have to be very Joe Public and take a look at the Patriots here, number 27 in the Super Contest rotation order against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, we had the stat from Brad Powers yesterday on the show that you know, the Patriots in the Belichick and Brady era, 20-0 after they lose outright and are an underdog or a favorite of 3 or less. So this is the role where they are virtually unbeatable. And when you look at what's going on here with Pittsburgh and with Roethlisberger being hurt and the turnovers, and there's some friction there with him and Mike Tomlin. Now they don't have a running game. I don't feel like Pittsburgh's in a position to beat New England. Even if the Patriots aren't what we're accustomed to seeing, I feel like if I'm getting Brady and Belichick under 3, I mean, I kind of have to fall in line with everybody else.
Yeah, and it's tough to light the matchup for Pittsburgh. Their secondary, I think, is going to struggle. Edelman, you've got Gordon. I've heard a lot of how bad Josh Gordon looks, or he's not the Josh. I don't care. He's no bum. He's out there making plays, and that's what Pittsburgh's secondary, in particular, cornerbacks are not. If Artie Burns is really going to be out there starting, I think Brady's licking his chops. The Patriots are going to score. I know that. And then Steelers on the other side still, though, I don't think they're going to be held in check. As long as Ben toughs it out, I have no clue what was going on in the sidelines last week, but you got to figure there's a reason he doesn't go back in there immediately, and it's because of this game and the importance of it. So, I mean, you know, the Steelers are going to be throwing haymakers too. High-scoring game here, but it's hard not to really stare at that over in the face. But as far as the side, I can't blame you. It's going to be who scores last, and if I got to predict who scores last, my money's on Tommy Touchdown.
All right, so one more game to throw out here for you, and again, it's been a little bit of a frantic day trying to get everything going on, so you know, I wanted to make sure that I had some thoughts here to talk about for the NFL, and I will settle on my full 5-play card tomorrow, but yeah, the majority of these games I talk about today will wind up on that card. you know, I have to look at number 30, the Philadelphia Eagles here, getting 11 points against the Rams. And this is another one, Joe, where I look at this game and I just try to figure out to myself how the Rams get margin in this game. I mean, they really haven't gotten margin on anybody here of late. Did cover against the Lions, but Detroit was 1 for 5 scoring touchdowns in the red zone. So they did have trips inside the 20. They just didn't do as much with them as they probably should have. And, you know, when you look at last week's game, it was very clear that Jared Goff was all over the place. The cold was bothering him. The pass rush, the coverage, all of it was bothering him. And Todd Gurley ran the football 11 times in a game that was 6-6 at halftime. I just feel like Sean McVay no longer cares that much about the regular season. I think it is exclusively about keeping his team as healthy as possible for the playoffs and finding out, you know, as you and I talked about on Monday, who's going to be that guy that replaces Cooper Kupp? Who's going to be that guy that reliably gets open, gets to the sticks on third down and moves the chains? Because I think McVay feels like he doesn't have that guy right now. I don't think this is about winning games. I don't think this is about covering spreads. I think this is exclusively about finding out who he can trust in his pass game. And if they hang a number on Philadelphia, so be it. But I think Gurley's the best offensive player on that team. If he's not going to be a big factor here in these last 3 weeks, there's no chance in hell I'm laying a big number with the Rams. So I can't help but look at Philadelphia here, who maybe gets a shot in the arm with Nick Foles back behind center.
I don't mind the Nick Foles replacement either. I mean, it's, you know, if you look at the woes they've had with Wentz this year, it's not bad to have that insurance, the whole reason he stayed. But I'm with you on the sense that I'm starting to see some weird things from the Rams. That usage of Gurley in particular, the last two games, maybe even last three, like, yes, last week trying to ice the game, but even in that high-scoring game they had, it seemed like there was a little bit too much of the Malcolm Brown. Like, the game before Malcolm Brown hurt his neck, he's in there in key situations. And then sometimes they're just not even running at all, even though Gurley's on the field, and it's just the world's greatest decoy, I don't know, in some of those situations. But, I'm starting to wonder as well, if McVay's not just tunnel vision on where we're going to be at starting the postseason, let's just plan ahead and make sure that I've got my main man, Dre Fogue, and Gurley's not completely worn out by the start of this thing. And yeah, it's a major concern of just, are we not seeing the whole game plan, the whole package on that Waffle House menu? I'm starting to doubt it. So, yeah, it's tough to get on that Rams side, especially when they're commanding so many damn points. So I don't blame you for taking the other side and taking Philly here. And, you know, Nick Foles, he's no slouch. That's probably a pretty sharp side.
I just don't see a Rams team all that invested right now. I think they're ready for that next game in the playoffs because, you know, last year they were one and done. And I guarantee you that's what stands out for Sean McVay the most. Last season from his first year there with the Rams is that they were one and done, and whatever he can do to prevent against that this time around, I think he's going to do it. And I think that means protecting Todd Gurley. And if you're taking away a team's best asset, I'm sure as hell not going to take them to win by double digits.
Now that's the smart way to think about it, because especially the point that, you know, last year, yeah, we got there. We got to the playoffs. Now what do we do? They're not going to have that happen again. They're worried about how fresh Gurley's legs are going to be and what shape they're going to be when the playoffs start. So I think that's kind of tunnel vision for them. I'll say it again, but it seems to be the way they're thinking. And I don't blame that loss on that way. I think they really just got their butts handed to them by Chicago. But I'm very concerned about them covering a big number like this when, sure, they may be covering it at some point in the second half, but this situation seems ripe for that backdoor cover there. Nick Foles makes a big, those beautiful lob passes he plays, and that's the one time Aguilar gets open, and oops, it looks like the Eagles covered at the last second.
Yeah, and for the Rams here too, I mean, Arizona and San Francisco coming up next. So if they want to get some momentum going, if they want to start moving in the right direction, they have two opponents to do that in the last 2 weeks. Also, those two injuries on the offensive line. John Sullivan, we'll see if he plays, if he can clear concussion protocol. Roger Saffold with the ankle. you know, he's expected to play, but how much? How much does he actually play? Because again, it feels like Sean McVay is in bubble wrap everyone mode for the playoffs here, and I certainly can't blame him for that. So the games I'm looking at here for week 15 in the Super Contest, looking at the Browns, they're +3, Colts -3, Bills -2.5, and then also looking at the Patriots -2.5, Eagles +11, and then the Packers probably on the outside looking in at +6. Joe Everett, who's working and follow on Twitter, at Joe W. Everett. Appreciate you helping me out with the Super Contest here this week. Thank you so much, man. And we'll talk to you again here in the – I guess you can't make it on Monday, so we'll talk to you again here in a couple weeks' time.
All right, definitely. Be ready to talk football when the schedule allows, but looking forward to it every chance I get. Love the show, man.
Okay, that's Joe Everett helping me out here with our Week 15 Westgate Super Contest selection segment. So the plays I'm looking at here for this week, Browns +3, Colts -3, Bills -2.5, Patriots -2.5, and then finally the Eagles +11, the Packers +6 on the outside looking in. And of course, you know, something may change between now and when my picks have to be in on Saturday morning. So that's what I'm looking at for now. Obviously, we've got a lot of considerations for the Golden Nugget to worry about as we're eighth in that contest. So, you know, check for the article on Saturday afternoon over at bangthebook.com. And that'll be the best way to find out what I'm going with here. We got one more segment left for this week on Bang the Book Radio. That is the odds report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. Lots of sharp action in the NFL betting market. A lot of things to talk about here for this weekend in college football, but also some sharp action looking at some games down the line a little bit. So, you know, a good segment here coming up with Brent, as always. I know it's one of our most popular segments here on the show. I know it's one that a lot of our listeners look forward to. So without further ado, here is this week's version of the odds report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined now by Brent, head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Everything wonderfully well. Finally getting close to that big bowl season. And of course, we're doing this on Thursday, so we've got a heck of a good-looking NFL matchup this tonight. So everything's going good. Tons of volume on the NFL right now, which is great. A lot of, you know, a lot of big games, kind of important games. And like, you know, we talked about last week, there's just some massive moves in the market. Not as much this week as last week. But, I mean, if you look back at the, you know, stuff we touched on the show last week, especially with NFL, I mean, the sharp stuff did really, really well. I think it was like 5-1. We also kind of, I think it was kind of, you know, interesting, a bit of a deviation that we made in terms of talking about the sandwich spots and look-ahead spots last week with NFL pertaining to Pittsburgh, who was at Oakland, and Kansas City, San Diego, I'm going to say San Diego forever, the Chargers, the big home favorite there was Cincinnati. And of course, you know, Pittsburgh lost outright. Those two teams, of course, played each other, the Chargers and the Steelers. And then, of course, the Steelers were looking ahead to the game this week, you would say, against the, you know, the Patriots, and fell flat against Oakland. And you had the Chargers, who kind of fell flat against Cincinnati, looking ahead to this Thursday game. So kind of interesting how those things played out.
Yeah, it definitely was. And, you know, we're going to go ahead and start on Saturday here. You know, there probably is some sharp action out there in the marketplace somewhere. I mean, these lines don't really move for no reason, but not a whole lot of sharp action at DSI for the Saturday games. But there were a couple of games I did want to touch on here real quickly, because as you and I were talking before we hit record here, there are some games that have some pretty big spreads in terms of the public money that you've taken on the sides.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is, like, you know, you talk about, you know, moving action and stuff like that, and I think, you know, everyone kind of assumes that, you know, as a general rule, the market is, you know, made up of sharp bettors in terms of the moves. I mean, the you know, you look at a guy who constantly beats the number, he's probably going to win long term. So that is, you know, very, very, you know, relevant. But still, that's not to say that every single move in the market is driven by sharp money, because the sharps simply don't bet every single game. They're a very disciplined group. I mean, you know, you've got very different kind of disciplines in terms of how they analyze games and stuff like that. And some guys just might not bet a game. You might not see sharp guys on every single game. So when you do take public money one-sided on a game, you know, you kind of see them. Do you just sit there and not react to it, and you wait for the sharp money? But then again, what if the sharp money doesn't come in and you get buried by public money? So regardless, you're still moving on the action that you get. And you see that with the, you know, the first game here, the 201 we have here with North Texas and Utah State. The line move, you know, Utah State open around 9.5 and 10, and that's down to 7.5 right now. And that, like, from what I see, what I've taken, it's just all one-sided action of, you know, a wager count in terms of the number of bets I've taken is almost 4-1 favoring North Texas. So from what I see, that's pretty much the basis for this move from 9.5 or 10 down to 7.5 where we are right now.
And then there's one more game that's taken a pretty, you know, significant amount of public action, one-sided here, game 207-208, Eastern Michigan and Georgia Southern.
Yeah, Eastern Michigan, Georgia Southern is, again, you know, you're talking about these games that are, you know, not the the most marquee games. And this early in bowl season, you get matchups that maybe aren't as attractive. But, I mean, Georgia Southern open up as a pick 'em, and it's all the way up to 3. And, you know, I'd love to say, yeah, you know, there's sharp money that drove that all the way to where we are right now. But it just hasn't been that way. I mean, we open a pick just like everybody else. And my wager count is just massively one-sided, 8-1 favoring Georgia Southern. That's just a, you know, just a huge, huge count. Now, you know, could you say, you know, public money is going to just, you know, bury this game? This is a great game for the public. Well, you know, I can't say that, but what I can say from what I've seen so far is just all public money so far. So, I mean, that's a massive wager count, 8-1, and it's all one-sided pretty much on Georgia Southern.
All right, so let's take a look at the games that have gotten some sharp action here. And, of course, we may have to revisit the – well, we won't be able to revisit this first one next Thursday's segment. We may have to revisit some of these games as we go forward here. This is the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, Florida, game 215-216. Marshall takes on South Florida. What's going on here, Brent?
Yeah, it's funny, these bowl names that they keep coming up with, these new names for them and stuff like that. And I don't know, I find them amusing sometimes, like the First Responder Bowl, the Quick Lane Bowl, the Cheez-It Bowl, the Potato Bowl. What do we got here? Marshall, yeah, I got Marshall just one side as well. The wager count there is, you know, not as dramatic as the earlier ones we talked about, but Marshall does have a wager count favoring them of about 3-1. A wager count, you know, their way is kind of, you know, not surprising, I guess, in terms of how they close things out. South Florida obviously didn't close very well to the season. They closed it out 0-5, sorry, after starting 7-0. So I've got a wager count 3-1 favoring Marshall, and unfortunately I have sharp money the same way. The sharp guys came in on -2 and just kind of trended up since then. Marshall money with the public there, but the sharp money did grab that first number. Even at 3, I'm still getting public money on Marshall -3. So you kind of, you don't want to have to, you know, go off the number 3. And right now, from what I see in the market, we'll probably get away with just sitting on 3. Right now, I do see some like 3 dog 15s out there. So unless everyone catches up with me, we'll probably be okay sitting at the 3. But sharps were on Marshall -2, and public has tailed them as well. Like I said, a wager count almost, you know, 3-1 favoring Marshall. Again, it could just be fading South Florida after how they close the second half of the season.
Yeah, you mentioned South Florida with the 5 straight losses, and also too, one of the most appealing things about bowl games and being a college football player and going to a bowl game is having an experience, going to see something, traveling somewhere, going someplace that you wouldn't otherwise go. Well, South Florida is playing this game in their own home stadium. So nothing new, nothing feels different, anything like that. And even with being at home, they're a dog in the bowl game, which was kind of telling in and of itself. And it does feel like their home field advantage has definitely been cut down for this bowl game as well.
Yeah, I think that holds true even with when you get, you know, just by, you know, quirks of the layout and stuff like that, where you get teams who've already played each other during the season, meeting each other, you know, in a bowl. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's just not as appealing as, you know, I think part of the attraction with all these bowls that they have, and then there is obviously a ton of them, just seeing these teams who just never, ever, you know, seem to match up during the regular season. I think that's part of the appeal of bowl season.
All right, so we'll move one day forward here. Both of these games on Friday, December 21st, do have some noticeable sharp action to them. We'll start in the Bahamas, which sounds like a great place to be. I mean, maybe not so much for you, but for me, living in a cold weather city. Game 217-218, FIU and Toledo. Sharp action for this game.
Yeah, if you're going to go somewhere for a bowl game, I guess the Bahamas probably, you could do a lot worse than the Bahamas. This line has gone down from 6.5, Toledo the favorite here, down to 5 where we are right now. Sharp money again. Almost always talking about sharp money grabbing the best of the opening number. This game opened 6.5, and that's where I got sharp money on Florida International, the dog, plus the 6.5. Unfortunately, I also have a wager count favoring Florida International as well. So I got public money with Florida International, but the first strike, of course, was a sharp money plus 6.5, down to 5 where we are right now. Total here is ticked up just 2 points, but just nothing of note there. No sharp money involved on the total, just aside.
All right, so we'll go to the Potato Bowl in Boise, Idaho. And, I mean, I've never been to Boise, but I would imagine that, you know, on December 21st, you'd probably rather be in the Bahamas than be in Boise, Idaho. But BYU and Western Michigan here in game 219-220, BYU opened a pretty substantial favorite. Where'd the sharp action come in?
Yeah, this is one of those games where, you know, you kind of you expect public money to come in on BYU. I think there's just the perception that, you know, them being, you know, from a, you know, a stronger conference and stuff like that. But Western Michigan's one of those teams who, you know, they typically are involved in higher scoring games and putting up a decent amount of points. So I think, you know, the value here is where the sharp money did come in at plus 12.5. We did come down to 12, and it's kind of just sitting around 12 right now. And again, 12.5 and 12 is not a real big move at all. I do have a wager count about 2-1 favoring BYU, so I am getting slightly more public money with the favorite BYU, which is not surprising. Also, this totally, if you're like, you know, the favorite minus 12.5, you probably go with the over, and that has gone from an opener of 48.5 up to 49.5. Now, I don't have sharp money involved in the total, but I do have a wager count about 2-1 on the total on this game as well. So from what I see, the total's bumped up 2 points simply on public money, and it's this one looks like it's going to be setting up in terms of a public and sharp split there. I get, like I said, the public money on BYU, sharp money on Western Michigan plus the 12.5. And again, it's kind of, you know, sucks when you're sitting around dead numbers like that. I mean, going from 12.5 to 12 to 11.5 to 11 is not really, you know, not really, you're not worried about games landing for sure. BYU, you know, you're looking at a team like them and they finishing 6-6. I think that's a bit of a disappointment for them. They started out like, I believe they started out with 3-3-1. They had a big win against Wisconsin. It's kind of a bit downhill from there. So, you know, these bowl games, it is interesting sometimes. I mean, BYU, like, you wonder, you know, how focused are they going to be? How, you know, how happy are they going to be sitting there in Boise playing this game where they're 12.5, 12-point favorite against Western Michigan? So motivation always becomes a factor in these games, but it's really tough to handicap that kind of stuff, aside from, like, we talked about sandwich games and stuff like that, but you just never know if and when they're going to happen.
Now, for you as a risk manager, I mean, this game, as we're talking here, I don't know when you got the sharp action, but at least as we're talking here, that game is still 8 days away. So in terms of managing risk here, where you may get sharp action the other way, you may get, you know, some public action to balance it out. How do you determine how far you want to move the number?
A lot of it depends on what the number is as well. Again, we're sitting here at minus 12 right now, and the market basically kind of is a guide for us. We're looking out there right now, and basically everyone right now is 12. I see some like 12.5, dog 15 and stuff like that, which I don't know, just seems kind of silly to me to use juice on a number like 12.5. So you do kind of just look at how the money is coming in terms of the public and where they're going. Again, if a sharp guy like the dog there at 12.5, you probably figure that another sharp might take it again at 12. But again, we talked about before in previous shows that you've got different kind of handicapping philosophies from your sharp guys, whether they're analytics guys, whether they're informational guys or situational guys, matchup guys, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, different strokes for different folks, and people might be lurking out there as well to see how low this number goes or how high it goes before they strike again. So you just basically got to move on your action, you know, right as it comes in, and obviously respect the market. In a case like this specifically, there's just no value really in terms of going 11.5 where we are right now, sitting at 12, in terms of this, the most of the market is sitting there as well.
All right, let's transition over to the NFL side here for week 15. We got some Saturday games to consider. One of them getting some sharp involvement here. That's game 303-304. Houston Texans take on the New York Football Jets. What's going on with this game, Brent?
Yeah, again, I mean, this is a bit of an ugly matchup, it seems to be, at least on paper. I mean, it's not a great matchup. There seems to be obviously a big discrepancy between these teams. Looking at the Houston Texans on the road here, the line opened 7, has kind of dipped down just a little bit in terms of the juice. We're sitting at 7 dog 15 right now, and even though I've got a wager count of about 2-1 favoring the Texans, so the line has dropped just a little bit. But my money is coming, you know, in on Houston, which probably is no surprise. But the sharp money on this one did come in on the total, and, you know, could be just kind of reflection of how strong the Houston defense is and how poor the Jets offense is. So no surprise perhaps that it came on the under 42.5. So sharp money under 42.5. We're down to 41.5 right now. Not a whole lot of public money involved in this game. I do have a wager count about 2-1 favoring the under, but not, you know, nothing substantial. So no surprise perhaps in terms of the Jets offense and the Houston defense that this one got hit under.
All right, so we'll move on to Sunday here, and we'll hit the first game on the board for Sunday game, 307-308, Miami and Minnesota. Not a particularly easy game to handicap here, I don't think. Miami off of that miracle win. Minnesota now stepping down in class a little bit, but they haven't looked good the last few weeks. What's going on with this one, Brent?
Yeah, it's interesting when you say stepping down in class, and I think that's kind of a reflection of just the perception of these teams, and I think that kind of plays a factor in terms of this line and where it is. I mean, the perception is that it's a step down for Minnesota. You know, they should be the better team, yet Miami's sitting there 7-6 and Minnesota's 6-6-1. So it's like Miami actually has the better record. And I just think like in recent weeks the perception of Minnesota has dropped so low. That you're just getting value on them, and like, you know, case like the Monday Night Football game against Seattle. I mean, the final score there, I think it was like 24-7 or something to that effect. I mean, on paper, it looks like Seattle really had their way with Minnesota. If you looked at the game stats and stuff like that, it was very close game. I mean, Russell Wilson was 10 out of 20, had like 75 yards or something like that, no touchdowns and an interception. I mean, Minnesota really played quite well, but the fact they lost, I think, was like 21-7, I guess it was. You just kind of this. I just think the perception of the Vikings right now is so low that what I'm finding here is that I a good spot for me, and that I've got a wager count almost 2-1 favoring Miami. So you got all that, you know, the emotion you want to call it after the big win on that, you know, kind of the freak play to end the game over New England. So I've got a line going up on Minnesota from -7 to 7.5 because of the sharp money that came in at -7. Yet my wager count, like I said, is almost 3-1 favoring the Vikings. So this is a good public and sharp split for us. And again, I try not to get too involved in terms of the psyche of things, but I just look at Minnesota as a team who just the public is really, really down on.
Yeah, and those are always interesting teams too, especially when you talk about a favorite of this magnitude here in this game against the Miami team that just beat New England. And you would certainly expect a little bit on there from the Dolphins in that one. How about game 311-312? Tampa Bay taking on Baltimore. The total drawing some sharp investment here.
Yeah, and again, I talking about perceptions about the previous game with Minnesota, I think it's very, it applies very much to this game as well. Just right off the bat, I'll let the cat out of the bag. Now, we do have sharp money on the under of this one. So under 47.5 is where the sharp money came. We're sitting at 46.5 right now. I'm pretty much split in terms of where my actions come into my wager count, so I'm pretty much even on that. But sharp money came in on the under this one, under 47.5. And again, I think people still kind of have this perception of the Bucs being this high-scoring, high-offense team. You look at their past three games, I think they won 27-9, something like that, 24-17, the 28-14 game last week. I mean, the New Orleans game, you figure if one was going to be a high-scoring shootout kind of game, New Orleans would have been it, 28-14, the final there. And I think that's partly with just Winston, the way he runs that offense is a little bit different from Fitzpatrick. And, part of the turnovers with Fitzpatrick, I think, contributes to part of that. And, Winston's been a little bit more responsible with the ball. And just the general feeling with Baltimore, I mean, you look at them, they've got a real solid defense. They played a couple of high-scoring teams just in recent weeks. They beat Atlanta 26-16, and that was a high total. The Kansas City game 27-24, and really, I mean, Mahomes had to have some magic to get that game to match that total. So, they're a team now, Baltimore, who runs the ball with Lamar Jackson at the helm, roughly two-thirds of the time. I think they're running the ball, so obviously that's going to chew up a lot of clock. So longer scoring drives, keeping the ball out of the higher scoring offense in Tampa Bay. So, I think the public is still going to bet this one over. We're sitting at 46.5 right now, but the sharps are, under 47.5. So I'm hoping I get public money back on this one without having to move too much.
All right, let's go to game 315-316 here. The Detroit Lions picked up a win on the road in Arizona last week. Now they're back on the road again to take on the Buffalo Bills. And this one, I don't think the sharp action is going to surprise too many people based on the line movement in the market.
Yeah, it's interesting too because you know we talked about last week how Detroit was one of the sharp plays, sharp bettors were on the Lions, and they did get the win with the Lions. And now, you know, lo and behold, they come 1 week later and they're going against the Lions. So it's all about matchups and kind of like the perception and value in teams and lines. It's not that you know people talk about the sharps and stuff like that. They don't necessarily like teams. They like certain teams at certain prices. And this is one of those games where they jumped on Buffalo minus one. So the Bills minus one is a home favorite there. And you know, you're talking about you know. Again, I don't look too deep in it, but I've got a you know you got a dome team traveling on the road to Buffalo. I you know Detroit's had a whole lot of injuries and they continue to mount for them this season. You know I've got a wager count about 2-1 favoring Detroit. So I guess that you know like again, just the you have to adjust your perception. I think people still think Detroit's a much better team than they are, and I think they think Buffalo's a lot worse team than they are. Buffalo's 4-9 right now. Detroit 5-8. Yeah, I mean. Buffalo's lost a couple games in a row, but they were in both of those games and highly competitive. Their quarterback, Allen, he's been, you know, he's been quite productive recently, and he's been the, I think he's been the leading rusher on the team probably like three of the last 4 weeks or maybe the last 4 weeks in a row. He's been right up there in terms of how much he, you know, how well he's done running the ball and developed that part of his game. And, you know, the Bills still have a, you know, a top flight defense as well. So, you know, I kind of like our position right now. If I need to side with the sharps with Buffalo and I get public money on Detroit, we'll be very happy with that come Sunday.
The most significant of line moves here this week coming in game 325-326 NFC West battle between Seattle and San Francisco. And I've talked about this before on the show, Brent, and our listeners should be very well aware of it by this point in time. When you get a misleading box score where a team wins, covers a number, but doesn't look very good in the process, a lot of times you see money come in against that team the following week. We're moving through some significant numbers here for game 325-326.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I talked about earlier how, you know, the win, it was a big win on national TV for Seattle last week against Minnesota, but 21-7. But really, it was really, really close game. And again, I touched on Russell Wilson, his performance. I mean, the guy had, like I said, less than 75 yards on 10 completions and no touchdowns and an interception. I mean, just like there just wasn't a whole lot to differentiate between, you know, those two teams, even though they were at home. Yeah, I mean, they did get the win, but, you know, I think, you know, it's been weeks and weeks now that I've been talking about how just Seattle just seems to be getting the wins. You know, the numbers and the stats, and yeah, I think the stuff that's probably been driving analytics guys crazy, just that Seattle just keeps on winning. But this is another spot where I've got sharp money on the dog. So a home dog here, San Francisco plus 6 is where I took sharp money. I believe this line did open as high as 6.5 elsewhere, and we are down to 3.5. I think there's like 4 dog 15 out there as well. I'm 3.5 flat. And again, a sharp and public split. I've got a public money coming in on Seattle, perhaps no surprise. Wager count there about 2-1 favoring the Seahawks. And again, plus 6 is where the sharp money came in there. And I think, you know, like the home and road splits too are, you know, they're really something that people need to look at with NFL and you know, San Francisco. Yeah, they're a team who's 3-10 on the season. They won 3 games all season long, but all 3 of those wins have come at home. So, you know, that's something perhaps to consider. You know, the quarterback play has been okay. You know, I think they've, you know, I have a lot of faith in their coach. I think they're a very well-coached game. The thing that kind of, like, scares me away, and I think one thing that might be driving the public play on this game as well is, yeah, you've got the perception of how good Seattle's looked. They have won 4 straight games. But, these two teams played. It was just 2 weeks ago that these two teams played, and Seattle beat San Francisco 43-16. So, you know, that's something worth to consider and probably an easy way to convince yourself to get on Seattle. But sharp money is what it is, and they grabbed the 6 here with San Francisco.
We do have one more game to touch on. It is the Monday Night Football game. But I want to ask you about Sunday here specifically. You know, as we're looking up and down the card here, we've already mentioned a few sharp versus public splits. I mean, is that probably going to be the theme of the day?
Not necessarily. I mean, like we talked about last week, especially we had, you know, one of those situations where we got a lot of public money going with the sharp money. They, you know, the wager counts kept going the same way. And there was a lot of substantial line movement. This one here this week, really, I mean, there haven't been as many big moves. I mean, you see like, you know, Cincinnati's gone from 3.5 to like 3-15. The Minnesota's ticked up a half point. You know, probably the biggest move we talked about, or you mentioned, was the San Francisco game right there. So I, I think we're probably going to see that. I got to wait for more sharp money to come in and see where these lines go. I think Pittsburgh could be one of those live teams. If this number gets closer to three with New England on the road, they're right now, they're like a 2.5 -120 -115 favorite on the road at Pittsburgh. I think if this one gets up there closer to three or the half point buy becomes more attractive, I think we'll probably see money or sharp money come in on Pittsburgh. I don't know that for sure, but that wouldn't surprise me. My wager count on that game is about 4-1 favoring the Patriots. It's interesting, like when the Patriots lose the game the way they did, everyone's kind of just, kind of shrugs it off. Whereas with Pittsburgh, they're kind of sour on Pittsburgh this week. So I wouldn't be surprised if that one, kind of went that way. Jacksonville, Washington is another one that I wouldn't be surprised if at some point money came in on Washington. You get to a point where, Jacksonville right now is a 7.5-point favorite versus Washington. Jacksonville is just obviously just not that good of a team. And I think motivation is, a big issue for them too. Do they really care? Have they kind of thrown their season away, which, their season is obviously lost and has high set expectations. So those are a couple of games that I think I would look out for. also, kind of strange looking favorite, to me is the Giants in Tennessee. Now the Giants really line hasn't moved much at all. Giants -2 is a home favorite to Tennessee, but for weeks and weeks and weeks to start this season, everyone was just trashing on the Giants, how they're just going to tank and not going to win. Well, not that they weren't going to win a game all season, but they were just kind of lining up for a draft pick, and now people seem to have a whole bunch of respect for the Giants. And other than that, the star running back and the good wide receivers they have, I just don't see much in this team that that's what I would look out for in terms of the Titans line coming down.
All right, so we'll talk about that Monday night football game here in New Orleans and Carolina. Saints on the road laying a big number, and the Saints just lay big numbers week in and week out at this point. What's the story with this game, Brent? Where are you finding sharp action?
Yeah, the total on this one has moved quite a bit, and it was sharp money that came on the under of this one. And again, I kind of like when we get under money in games involving the Saints, because usually you get public money all over the Saints. And again, the fact that it's the Monday night game pretty much assures that I'm going to get over money. So under 53.5 is where I got sharp money on this one. I'm sitting at 51.5. There's like a 51 out there. There's a 52 out there as well. So I get a feeling by my wager count. It's only 2-1 favoring the over, but it's kind of an early indication that the public is probably going to bet this game over, and that'll be a good spot for us if we get to go against the sharps on this one. And again, I've been talking a lot in this show about the perception and stuff like that, and I think you still kind of get that perception of New Orleans just being this high-scoring offense and not a very good defense, but their defense is quite solid this year. They've got two solid running backs as well, which help eat up the clock and stuff like that. So, New Orleans is one of those teams, I think, the perception kind of, it lasts like an entire season long. You're a kind of expectation that you go in at the start of the season, kind of carries through for much of the season. I think that's kind of one of those things consistently with them, especially because they keep winning games. So, Saints under 53.5. We're down to 51.5 right now, despite the fact they got more bets over. So it's looking like a sharp and public split for us.
Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook on this week's version of the Odds Report. Appreciate your time as always, sir. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Adam. Have a great weekend.
Always good to chat with Brent, again, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook. Lots of sharp action out there in the NFL, and obviously here with the bowl games, taking an extended look ahead at some of those games that are going to have sharp action as we get closer to kickoff. Coming up on our Monday edition of Bang the Book Radio, no Joe Everett, as I mentioned here on today's show, with Joe out of the equation. We'll see if we can get Kyle Hunter for the full hour, maybe do a half hour college football, half hour college basketball, something like that. Either way, we'll definitely have a show on Monday, and barring anything that happens between now and then, we should have Kyle Hunter for the majority of it. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a happy, healthy, smart, safe weekend, and I will talk to you again on Monday.